Welcome to episode 7 of Old Stories, New Information. I'm your host, Brent Colley, and on today's episode, I'm joined by Tom Bartram, a friend and a lifelong resident here in Sharon, former selectman, the current chair of the Board of Finance, and I guess the best way to describe you, Tom, is volunteer extraordinaire. And you're very connected to our topic today, which is Isaac Newton Bartram, and he's one of those under-the-radar individuals that everyone, and not only that, the ones that live in Sharon, but in general should know much more about. So my connection, my story that connects with him is that as a kid and a young adult even, I was always confused by this memorial plaque at the Putnam State Memorial Park. It had three individuals from Reading, Connecticut, and then Isaac N. Bartram of Sharon, Connecticut. So I was always wondering what was that connection. And I found out when I started volunteering for the Sharon Historical Society, when the curator at the time found out that I was from Reading, she said, "Oh, you're from Reading. We have a photo of a man from Sharon that built Putnam Park in Reading." And sure enough, that was Isaac. So that was a neat connection and neat to put a face to the person. And then it got better when I started at the town hall, because in one of the first days I was wandering around the building, I found the cornerstone upstairs of the original building, and the cornerstone read the builder was, guess who, Isaac N. Bartram. So that was my connection. That's my story. Tom, obviously you have the last name, but what's your connection to Isaac Newton Bartram?
Well, to go back to his father, I.N. Bartram's father was Isaac Hamilton Bartram. He was born 1785 in Reading, as you mentioned. He married Lydia Platt, and they had 13 children between them, 11 girls and two boys. I.N. was born in 1838. Ezra Albert was born in 1843, and Ezra Albert is my great-great-grandfather.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
Yep. And he was born in Reading, but he came to Sharon. I would guess he followed I.N. up here to work with him in his businesses, because my great-grandfather was the first one of my lineage, at least born in Sharon.
And that's the thing. You know, what really amazes me about Isaac is that, you know, through Ed Kirby, his book, the first Seldom Told Tales, in between pages 73 and roughly 81, he goes over, you know, Isaac N. Bartram, and actually Isaac is the person on the front of that book. That's the red one.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's almost the biggest question that I still have, which will be in another episode, is to figure out his knowledge base. So he obviously knew geology very well,
mm-hmm.
because what he selects in terms of businesses has a lot to do with geology.
Yeah.
And the other amazing thing that I tied in or learned in the process about him was that, so he first shows up in the land records in 1868. So he's just about to turn 30.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he's up in the pine swamp with the kaolin, and, you know, there was specific sands and clays for the blast
right.
furnace process. But also, he starts to serve as our state rep. So he had six terms as state rep between 1868 and 1996, and then he served a term as senator. All along, he's doing all these other things. So he had a lot of energy. As you know, Tom, you have that energy as well.
Well, I hope I can live up to his, but you're right. His list of accomplishments is pretty exciting.
Pretty amazing.
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about, like, your family and your involvement with the town. I mean, just so people out there understand. Your dad was Ken?
My dad was Ken, yeah. He was born in 1919, lived on Hospital Hill Road growing up, my grandparents' home, which was home to me a lot when I was growing up as a kid in the 60s and 70s in Sharon. His father was Isaac Harry Bartram, who was a plumber. He was the postmaster in Sharon for quite a while. He was a charter member of the fire department, so that's where we kind of got our blood for the fire service, which I maintain today. And Isaac Harry's father, who would have been Ezra Albert's son, was Leander Harrison Bartram. He lived on Lover's Lane. And he, again, was like I.N. a lot. He had a lot of irons in the fire and different things, but he was basically a plumber, and he was also a naturalist. He kept bees. He was an expert on mushrooms, all kinds of different neat things that I didn't inherit a lot of those, but they're interesting to read about.
No, but it's that's interesting that it stayed in the bloodlines.
Yeah.
What do you think overall is, you know, does your family ever talk about Isaac? Did he have an influence on the family overall?
I remember my grandfather talking about him some, because obviously he was old enough, I guess, to remember. I think he died in 1913. Is that what it was? So my grandfather was born in 1889, so he was a teenager by the time Ian died. But when you look down the list of accomplishments, I mean, and this is pretty much verbatim from Ed Kirby's book, Seldom Told Tales of Sharon. He was a builder, concentrated on masonry and stone cutting. He developed the Sharon Water Company, which my great-grandfather, Len, was the superintendent of. I have a lot of his diaries, and there's many stories about the early water company digging water mains by hand, fixing leaks, and one particular summer when they were in drought, where they came close to not having any water at Barsley Pond to go into the strainer to feed the system. It was really very, very close, and finally they got some rain, which made things better. Back to I.N., he was a partner in the first electric steam generating plant on the dam at Mudge Pond, and I remember my grandfather telling stories of when, again, they didn't have much water, he would go down and fire a boiler to generate steam to keep the generator going, to keep the lights on up in Sharon. I.N. was an original stockholder in the Sharon Valley Iron Company, in the Sharon Telephone Company. He ran the Bartram Inn with his wife Helen on Upper Main, which is now an apartment building. He engineered and supervised construction of many of the area blast furnaces, and as you mentioned, he was a state rep and did a term as the state senator. So we had some papers of his. My father, I think, when Ed was doing the book, donated them to Historical Society, so hopefully they're over there. The only remnant I still have of Isaac Newton Bartram's, I have his family Bible. So
wow.
That is the only memory I guess I still have of him.
No, but that's definitely of interest. And, you know,
yep.
I find it great that you'll be driving past his old house on your way to your next meeting.
Yeah.
As, like you said, the apartments are 74 Upper Main Street, so it's a neat connection, and, you know, it did become the Bartram Inn. And I think that's a great tie to, you know, not only was he in all these businesses, but he was also investing in properties all across our town and region. So mm-hmm. he became a very important real estate, person in this town. And so he obviously has a lot of energy because of all the different things that he does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Putnam Park is, you know, a substantial undertaking in terms of everything there. He just didn't build stone walls.
Yeah.
You know, just that when, as you enter through the gates and head up the hill, that memorial, I think they call it an obelisk, is really, really impressive. I think that really showcases his skills. And, you know, I was blessed with the opportunity to go down into the basement of Town Hall and marvel at the size of the stone
right.
that is the foundation of the original building. It's,
yep.
There,
yep.
There's a couple that I call crocodile rocks because they're about 15 feet long and like 4 feet high.
Yeah.
And
you often wonder how in heaven's name they ever managed that without, you know, the equipment we have today. They did that all by hand and pulleys and ropes and all kinds of things.
So we kind of figured it out in a way. I worked with a gentleman at Putnam Park because, you know, because I used to volunteer down there too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was interested in that. So when I found out who Isaac Bartram was, then he went into his rabbit hole and started doing research on how these individuals did this back in that time frame. And what it was called was a boom crane. And they would basically, it kind of looked like two telephone poles put together, and that was their form of a crane.
Yeah.
And the oxen would take the large stones in place, and then they'd lift them up and put them in place.
Yep.
And, you know, you can see that very, very well at the town hall, but that's pretty much how they did it. But the other thing that was really interesting, like I noted, you know, he had to know geology because, you know, not only he starts with sand and clay, but then he moves on to stone and not only building it, but it had to be the right stone from the furnace. And the reason why was that blast furnace, like they run at like 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So if you had certain rocks, they could possibly explode in that heat. And
right.
To give a perspective on how hot that is,
mm-hmm.
most common fires in houses are between 1,000 and 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He was able to mine firestones out of what they call Mount Easter and other areas along the corridor of West Cornwall.
Mm-hmm.
Between there and Route 7. So, yeah, that's the one thing, like I said, it fascinates me, and that's something I'd like to learn more about.
Well, having this little discussion with you kind of perked my interest on a lot of things, too. So I may be doing some research on my end as well. So.
Well, that is the whole reason why we're doing this.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, if you don't keep talking about it, it goes away.
Exactly.
And that's really the magic of what we have the capability to do now. We can share stories in fun ways that we never could before. So,
right.
Tom, I want to thank you so much for joining me today, and thank you also for all that you do and your family too for our community.
Right.
Your family is definitely a big part of why Sharon is a great place to live, and so I just wanted you to know that I appreciate that.
Right. Well, thanks for the opportunity, and it was great talking with you, and maybe we can get together again and talk about another topic.
That's what we're going to do.
That's one of the things I inherited. I love to talk.
Well, yeah. So, like as we've noted in other episodes, you know, there's an email account now, so you can write to stories@robinhoodradio.com. Let us know what you like and what you want to hear more about. These episodes don't have to just end. They'll keep on coming back as we find new information and we know what you're interested in. The next episode, I'll be talking with historian Mike Allen, and he does a great podcast about amazing stories from across the state of Connecticut. And we're going to talk about someone that's a really interesting individual that is probably the biggest enigma in the history of Connecticut. But he's also so famous that the world-famous band Pearl Jam wrote a song about him, and that's the Leatherman. So the Leatherman will be the topic next week. Mike Allen will be here with me sharing that with you. And so until next time, be well and always do right. This will gratify some people and astonish the rest. Enjoy your week.
Old Stories, New Information, hosted by Brett Colley, is produced at the facilities of WHDD, RobinHoodRadio.com, Sharon, Connecticut.